Behind the surveyors came the graders. There were a few hundred of them, mainly recruited in New York or other eastern cities, some immigrants born in Ireland or elsewhere in Europe, some second-generation Americans. They were lured to the West by the promises of steady work and high wages, as much as $2 or even $3 a day, sometimes more. They were mostly young veterans of the Civil War, with little or nothing to go home to. In Nebraska, they were organized into teams. They were commanded by various bosses. The boarding boss was at the top. His tent went up first when camp was made. Then came the camp doctor, if there was one. Often there was not, whose job was relatively easy because when the water was good and the food untainted, the health of the men was excellent. They lived in the open air, worked hard, ate and slept well. If there was no camp doctor, the boarding boss had a medicine chest filled with bandages and a few simple remedies. There were various stable bosses who assigned the men to their jobs. Each boss might have 100 horses and mules working his wagons, but he knew them all by name. The driver and the harness for a team were never changed, and each driver was responsible to the boss, who was expected to turn the outfit back to the contractor at the end of the season in as good shape as when he took it. Then there were the walking bosses, who had their eyes constantly on the men. They used vigorous profanity and time checks to keep the men working. If a boss caught a man loafing, he cursed at him. The next time, he cursed in a louder voice. The third time, the walking boss called the timekeeper and gave the man his time, adding for the enlightenment of the others, "This is not a Salvation Army, but a grading outfit." Occasionally, the Irishmen went on strike whenever Durant failed to forward their pay. When it did not arrive on time, they turned volatile and surly. "What a time we have been having here for the last 4 weeks," a weary contractor reported in the summer of 1865. "With Irishmen after their pay, I can assure you it is enough to make men crazy." The men worked with shovels, sold by Ames, of course, picks, wheelbarrows, teams, and scrapers. The younger men were usually the drivers. The older ones did the plowing and filling. The men in their late teenage years or early 20s were generally the shovelers. The job of all was to lay out a grade for the track, one that was level with only a bit of curve, 2 feet or more above the ground so it would not be flooded out. Mainly that required digging dirt, filling a wheelbarrow with it, taking it to the grade, and dumping it. Sometimes two men used a dump wagon drawn by a horse. They dumped the dirt onto the bare ground. First, the grass and roots had to be removed and tossed aside, not turned over. The dumping boss was a man with a good eye and an unmistakably Irish accent. He stood on the grade and indicated with his shovel where he wanted the dirt dumped. He leveled the dirt with his shovel, and under his constant care, the grade grew with just the proper pitch until the top was leveled off, ready for the cross ties. The grade at the top was wide enough for one or two tracks, or 12 feet from shoulder to shoulder. Promptly at noon, the big watch of the walking boss snapped, and he called out, "Time!" Every man in the outfit heard him, as did the mules and horses. Everything stopped. The animals were unhitched and put to water. Then the men went to the boarding tent, where their appetites made even the coarsest fare taste good, if not delicious. At 1 o'clock, the shrill voice of the walking boss was heard, and the men went back to work, although after the hearty meal it took a vast amount of profanity to get them stepping again. The bosses, it was widely agreed, were not tyrants. The average grader had muscles like steel and could take care of himself in a rough-and-tumble fight, and anyway, the bosses did not resort to pick handles. There were exceptions, but generally they ruled with comparative ease, and they got the grade done. When the bosses couldn't level the grade, the scrapers, drawn by oxen or up to 4 horses, were called in to do the job. When solid rock was encountered in a ridge line, which was seldom in the Great Plains, the men used hand drills and stuffed the hole with black powder. When the rocks blew apart, the remainder of the cut was dug out and leveled. A cut was done entirely by hand. The men would form an endless chain of wheelbarrows. For fills, the dirt was dumped in. The land yielded nothing but some limestone for masonry work. There was no gravel for ballast, so mainly sand was used. At night, after supper, The men would play cards or sing songs, such as Poor Paddy, He Works on the Railroad, or The Great Pacific Railway for California Hail, Bring on the Locomotive, Lay down the Iron Rail. Others were Pat Malloy, Whoop Along Louisa Jane, or I'm a Rambling Rake of Poverty, the Son of a Gamboleer. The low notes of the jew's harps and harmonicas floated across the cool night air. The songs were sung almost regardless of harmony and in contempt of tune.